Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Morning, brethren, friends, and all our guests, especially those joining us for the first time. It's indeed a pleasure to have you. And indeed, we are grateful for this new platform. Already I'm enjoying the musical aspect of it, especially. Better audio so far and good presentations. We give God the praise. Thanks, Sister Lois and your daughter for that beautiful song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. Very inspiring service so far. Thanks to Brother Courtney for his presentation also, encouraging us to stay that track and focus on the home run. Very good. At this time, we're going to be spending the next few moments with refreshing thoughts. You know, as we approach spring, we all become aware of the many signs and symbols of renewal. We find some of the animals, bears, for example, that hibernate during the winter, they'll soon awake to the newness and brightness of the season. Some plants that disappear during the winter, you know, I do have a small garden outside, and you know, we have some lilies there, and oh yeah, the fall comes and they disappear, but the root is still there, and I can't wait to see them burst through and bloom again. So that's what happens in the spring, when everything seems to renew itself, life is renewed, and you know, we all go about ourselves, our businesses, we do what we want to do, enjoying the freshness and all the symbols of renewal around us. Going through this pandemic, you know, many have suffered fatigue and loneliness, depression. They've seen a lot of the darkness of this life. The thought of renewal and refreshment is a welcome one. Just thinking about the renewals, our minds are invigorated. And as we focus on all the possibilities that comes with the renewed visions and hope, we become stronger. The entire earth, all humanity, have been through years of darkness. Humanity has experienced thousands of years of wars, diseases, poverty, heartaches, pains, misery, and of course, many deaths, as is happening now. All this makes this world a very dark place. When we think of true hope and happiness, a world that we can live with a light heart, certainly these things need to go away. We do not want to hear of any more wars. Too many people suffer and die and have to go on to these camps and they journey and put themselves in more perils on boats, trying to find a place of rest. That's no good for this world. It's a dark side of this world. Diseases we are suffering right now, the COVID, it puts us in a box. It shuts us away. We fear for our lives. It's a part of this dark world. Poverty. Many people living below the poverty line, can hardly find food to eat, or clothes to put on, or a shelter, no good for this world. So in a lot of sense, this world needs a renewal. It needs refreshment. Now we hear of the Great Reset coming, where the government of the days wants to, you know, make things better. They want to put new things in place to eliminate poverty and to improve the environment and all those things. I have no confidence that any human effort can fix the problems I just described. Because man's heart is so desperately wicked that they will build something great, and with envy, jealousy, competition, and all the negative part of the heart, it is torn down by someone else. We have kingdoms that have arisen to greatness, and sometimes internally, the struggle for power bring them down to the ground. The entire globe need renewal and refreshment. And that is why the good news that Peter brought to Israel, who were gathered just after the day of Pentecost, was very, very meaningful and refreshing. So I'd like us to turn to our scriptures at this time. And we'll read from Acts 3, 11 to 20. Now, just to put some context to this, Peter and John, you know, they received that fire of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that Jesus promised. And they were performing miracles. And one of the miracles performed was healing the man at the beautiful gate. Remember, Peter said, and John, when a man stretched his hand to receive the palm, he said, "Look at us. Silver and gold we don't have, but such as I have given by thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man stood up, leaped, and walked. So verse 11, as I break in the context, "And as the layman which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his Son, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One of the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, and the faith which is by him hath given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance he did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God hath before should by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer. He hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Powerful message here. Israel were gathered for the pilgrimage. They all came down from the different nations from which they were dispersed. When it comes to the holy days, they will be present in Jerusalem. And that is following the command given to Moses, the 3 times of year that they should be in Jerusalem. So during this Feast of Pentecost, one of the pilgrimage feasts, they were there, and that is why we had Jews from all over the world speaking different languages. But for those who were in Jerusalem at the time, it was just not too long before, 40, 50 days or so, that the great incident took place. The Christ had come and had to die to redeem Israel. Now, many did not understand what they were doing, and that is why Peter, in his sermon, have to emphasize that, look, you choose the thief, the murderer, over the just one. It was your doing. You crucified the Christ. You did this, no doubt, in ignorance. But now, I'm commanding you, I'm pleading to you, that you must now repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's a big guilt that he put on them, because they have crucified the chosen one of Israel. But the big hope that he presented to them, he said, don't worry about it. God is a forgiving God. If you repent and be converted, that sin and all sins will be completely erased from you. You will be new creatures in Christ. But I find it interesting that he didn't just stop at the fact that times of the repentance and conversion. He went on to say this: when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. My brethren, what is Peter referring to here? Why did he describe that time as a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord? And he put a time to that. That time of refreshing is not now, but is when he shall send Jesus Christ. So he already was preaching the return of Christ. At the return of Christ, it will be a time of refreshing. Now I want to ask, are we all looking forward to that really refreshing period when Christ shall return. All the darkness, all the evil, all that is in the world right now, it will be changed. And I'm going to go into some scriptures that describes what the world would be like, what that time of refreshing would be like. When we understand that whatever God has prophesied so far has come to pass, the visions of Daniel and all that Ezekiel and the prophets had to say, there's so much that has already been fulfilled. And what is to be fulfilled, what is yet in the future, we are sure it's going to happen. Not only did he call it a time of refreshing, but also it says it's a time of restitution of all things which God has spoken. So what are some of the things that will be restored? We will see in the scriptures, but I'm sure. Peace, righteousness, judgment, justice. There will be no more war. In fact, let us go to Isaiah, to the scriptures, and get those point by point. Now let us think of the original audience for a minute. Israel, they had the first covenant. They had the covenant with God. They are his people. Israel was established by God with a monarchy. But because of their disobedience, that kingdom was destroyed, overrun by Babylon and by the Persians. Israel lost the throne and were under constant battle and persecution with the Romans and whatever powers have been. So the disciples ask a question in Acts 1 verse 6. When they were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That question, every time I read it, it leaves that lingering feeling that this question has to be answered. Israel will be restored at some point. Let's look through the prophets now to see some of the visions of restored Israel and a restored world, times of restitution, times of refreshing. Isaiah 2, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up their sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. My brethren, what a beautiful picture was painted just there. A time when Jerusalem would be established, the hills of Zion, the mountain of the Lord it shall be called. Nations shall flow into it. Other scriptures describe the return of Christ with his feet landing on the Mount of Olives and will set up his headquarters in Jerusalem. And many people from all the nation will be flowing into Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It will be a great time, a time of restitution, a time when peace and righteousness, which day by day has been eroded by human concepts. We long for the restoration. In fact, at this time, we're almost immune to the evil around us. The normalization of sin. Many calling right what is right wrong and wrong right. All the immorality that exists. Christians can hardly even speak anymore. And that right is being taken away day by day. The world is becoming a rotten, immoral, and sinful community to live in. God knows how soon and how badly we need the restoration of righteousness. When we hear of wars and the rumors of wars, you know, I sometimes think of the people in their houses only to hear a rocket or some weapon ravish their buildings, and people are dying by the thousands and suffering and all of that. Thankfully, in the time of restitution, these things will be no more. Instruments of wars will be turned into instruments of production. So says Isaiah in this prophecy. Let's look at Isaiah 49 as God comforts Israel. After all that Israel have been through, God has the great love for Israel, and he will restore Israel. The time of restitution, the time of refreshing will come. Sing, Isaiah 49, 13 to 15. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. How comforting to all Israel. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That is very hard to forget. But God is saying, okay, humans may even forget, but I will not forget you, Israel. I will not forget you. You will be restored. Every one of us. Every one of us who became Abraham's children by faith in Jesus Christ. We are part of this hope. And the restoration will happen. The times of refreshing will come. What a lovely symbols. Well, a great statement here. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Whatever Israel is going through, God knows, he understands. And he knows that it's just a matter of time before Israel will be restored. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy. I repeat that, everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Isaiah continuing, chapter 66, 17 to 25. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But ye be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more than an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now listen to this. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Songwriter put it this way, that there shall be peace in the valley. Peace in the valley. Not even the animals will be hurting each other anymore. A lion, instead of eating, instead of being the great predators that they are now, they shall be eating straw like the bullock. They will not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. Your kids can go out and play and not to be afraid of stings and bites and all those things, because there will be a change. What a wonderful world is promised. And these are the promises that we focus on, brethren. Because if we look at what is happening around us, we'll realize that Earth is going through its dark winter. But as we have the seasons to teach us that after each dark winter comes the glorious blooming spring. And we know the darker it gets, as it says, the darkest part of the night is just before the dawning of the day. We have great hope, and we are refreshing ourselves with these scriptures, brethren. But let us also note that the restoration is not just for Israel. Let's look at Acts 17. God does intend to bring his salvation beyond Israel. Acts 17:26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. So Paul here was speaking to a Gentile audience on Mars Hill, people who were worshiping other gods. And he was telling them that God has determined before times appointed. Israel is the model nation of the Lord. But as we read earlier, many nations will flow into the mountain of God through Israel. It's just a wonderful thing to think of all the earth, all humanity, acknowledging the one true God and serving him. And so Psalm 98 gives us a picture of that. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornets. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. My brethren, we are excited about the promises of God and a world to come that will be like nothing we can imagine right now. It will be far better than any human invention. A lot of accomplishment has been made by humanity over the years, but still unable to solve the problems of this world. And we know that they just do not have it. We can't solve our own. The God Almighty will send his son, Jesus Christ, and begin a period of refreshing and restitution and perfect peace and harmony. And I didn't bother to touch Revelation because we don't have time. But if we should look at Revelations 21 and 22 of what is promised there for her and walk us through the kingdom to come, my brethren, It's only joy unspeakable that fill our heart. The good thing, brethren, is that we don't really have to wait for the return of Christ in order to enjoy refreshment. We don't have to. Let's look at Exodus 23:12. A little change of pace here. 6 days you are able to do your work, reading from the NASB. 6 days you are able to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from labor so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave as well as your stranger may refresh themselves. So the Sabbath commandment ensures that we rest, and not only us, but our servants, our cattle. I just note here that the reason for the rest of all the workers is that they may refresh themselves. So the Sabbath is in fact a present, refreshing time. Weekly time of refreshing and restitution. You know, in the week, if we pay attention to the news, entertainment news and those things, our minds would be filled with the rottenness and filth of this earth. The laws of God are being totally disregarded. The television screens, the movies are filled with filth. And they're entering the minds of all the viewers. And so we have to be thankful that once per week, we have this time of refreshment where we can go back to basics, focus on the what is right, proper and godly, what is of eternal value, and refresh ourselves with our fellowship and strengthen one another. Yes, physical rest, but emotionally, spiritually, we are rejuvenated and recuperated after the days of labor and toil. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Brethren, we continue to keep God's holy Sabbath on a weekly basis, and we will be constantly refreshed and renewed and rejuvenated as we go through the twists and turns of this life. Coming up in a month from now, almost exactly a month from now, 27th of March, we'll be celebrating the Passover. The Passover is another great event of renewal and refreshment. I'll read a scripture too. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that ye shall keep the service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Then ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. So that's just a simple reminder that Israel was to continue the feast of Passover, the ordinance, throughout their generations. Brethren, as much as Israel probably had good intentions and made their promises at the beginning, you know, they failed. They failed badly, and God had to divorce. They were scattered. But as we read in Isaiah, God never forgets. And so that covenant was renewed. And let's look quick as we prepare ourselves and look at the refreshment to come. Matthew 26, 26. Jesus Christ, the antitype, the lamb. So for years, Israel, they were slain lambs. In celebration of the feast of Passover, the true lamb came. And here he renewed the covenants. We're talking about renewal and restitutions. Matthew 26, 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins." But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had summoned him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Every year when we gather together to celebrate this occasion, this momentous occasion, broken down in the heart, know that God loved us so much that he would have called us, invited us into his plan of restitution, his plan of restoration, his plan of giving eternal life to those who seek him. And I'm glad we're a part of this new covenant, brethren. And each year we renew it. We renew our commitment to the principles of righteousness. We renew our commitment to the laws of God. We renew our commitment to live above sin. It's a time of renewal and restitution. We know God is loving and forgiving. And like Peter said to those men, what you need to do if you slip up? Repent and be converted, because the times of refreshing are coming. We look forward to that renewal. Paul admonishes us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are an unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Writer of Hebrews says, "And every priest standeth by ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, had sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with it from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All describing the great sacrifice of our Lord, which we will be commemorating in 4 weeks. It will be a time of refreshing. We look forward to renewing our commitment to and giving thanks for the great work that was done for our redemption and for the new covenant. We have work to do. When we look into these verses, it is so abundantly clear that in the new covenant, God would give his laws and write them in our hearts. Yet today we have many Christians claim to love the Lord with all their heart, yet despise the laws which God should have put in their hearts. These are things that need to be restored. The true concepts of godliness need to be restored. And we will be a part of the process version because God has called us to do that. The Passover, extremely significant. But then it's not done once we have that Passover meal, the wine and the bread. God wants us to take a time to reflect on our lives. We are called to be purified, sanctified, justified, glorified at the end. And so God ordained 7 days as a rehearsal from Israel unto our time. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is to be observed. Brethren, there's no doubt that anything that is renewed, or anything that is dirty and old, if it is properly cleaned, it is restoration. Cleansing in any and every form brings about renewal. And so as we approach the season, brethren, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, sometimes it's interchangeable with the Passover because they are so intertwined. The Passover, the symbol of our deliverance from sin unto righteousness. But it's important that we get, symbolically, we get the sin out of our lives and keep it out. And so there's a period of keeping it out. So before we remove whatever leaven physically in our houses, in our cars, in our dwellings, symbolically, removing sin. And for those 7 days, we focus on ourselves. 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. I'll just repeat verse 7 and then read verse 8. Clean out the old leaven so that ye may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate a feast, not with old leaven or with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I look forward for the cleansing. I look forward for the renewal. I look forward for the recommitment. I look forward for all the newness that comes as we begin the holiday season. Passover is just the beginning, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's refreshing times coming, literally and symbolically, with the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, times of refreshing and renewal, the trumpets, the atonement, tabernacles, the great last day, all important, very important part of our walk with God. We will renew these covenants. We will stay away from the sins of this world, and we will champion the cause of God. My brethren and friends, thank you very much for tuning in today, and thank you for the strength in each other. And I can assure you that times of refreshing are on their way, that we can be refreshed and renewed in the great hope of our calling in Jesus Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.